The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. This is, today is January the 23rd of 2012, and as of yesterday afternoon, we have sad news to report.
We have confirmation from the Watcher website, which was the forum, the Watcher forum, which was the discussion group devoted to
the works of David Flynn.
Yes, and as you probably have known, that David Flynn was fighting a rather aggressive brain tumor, and yesterday he passed away.
He graduated.
Yeah, that's a better way of looking at it. He's gone on before us because. From everything we know about David, he was a sincere believer in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, which means that while it's sad that we are deprived of his friendship and scholarship here in this plane of existence, we know where he is, and we know that we shall be reunited someday.
You know, and speaking of his scholarship, his mind was just amazing and still is amazing, though we can no longer access it directly. And one day we'll be with him, of course, in the presence of our Lord and Savior. But I have to believe that the Lord doesn't take anybody one second before they're supposed to go. He's got a plan, and he's got things for each of us to do here, those of us who love him. And I believe that everything that David did, you know, in fact, I remember one time he sent us an email, and he didn't tell us what it was he was writing, but he said, I've got something I'm writing, and I just have this feeling that I've got to get it done fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that I should rush it? And, you know, my reply, and I think yours was very similar, was, what does rush mean? You know, rush to print, rush to, you know, get it done, get it off your mind. If you've got something you feel that the Lord really has for you to say, and it is very important, then do it to the best of your ability as quickly as you can.
Mm-hmm. And David delved into some topics that would be considered esoteric by a lot of people.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people, you know, don't really look at the Bible as being supernatural or spiritual.
Yeah, yeah. And some, I think, misunderstood or misconstrued what David was doing. He looked for patterns in events in locations, mm-hmm. and saw patterns, discerned numerical significance where other people would see nothing.
With no occult significance other than to, you know, say this is the design that God has put in not only his universe, but in all aspects of it, all dimensions of it, and throughout time. Those patterns are, you keep looking at some buttons.
I was just tweaking something here that I had changed some of the EQ on one of the microphones and forgot to set it back to where
it was. Wouldn't it be something if I'm just talking away here and all of a sudden he says, none of this recorded.
Ignore the man behind the other side of the desk.
David Flynn took a look at the design that God has put into the world, and that design that he put into this world is not just, you know, like you're looking at a puzzle or looking at a painting. It has so many layers and dimensions to it, far more than we could ever imagine.
Right.
And beneath all of those are more and more. So we'll be eternity figuring out everything that God has put here for us to learn and for us to learn in the next, you know, once we graduated.
Sure.
In graduate school, so to speak.
And it was sad that there were other well-meaning believers who...
Well, let's not get into that because honestly, you know,
Let me just leave it at this then. If we as Christians see evidence of design in the world around us, all David was doing was seeing a higher order of complexity
exactly.
in that design. That's all.
He was in no way, shape, or form
right.
channeling you know, some right. occult science.
So,
nor was he delving into the occult sciences. I think in many ways he was unmasking the occult sciences.
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. So we've got some interviews that we've done with David, and sadly they were far too infrequent. But the ones that we have posted at PIDradio.com will be linked in the show notes to this program, which will be shorter because we want to encourage you to go back and listen to those archive programs if you've not listened to them to this point, because all of them are worth hearing several times because they're deep. The interview about the occult significance of the 1947 Roswell crash, the numerical occult signature.
Is that the first one we did with him?
Yes.
You know, I got to thank Guy Malone, who was one of our first interviews. He wasn't the first, but one of our first. And Guy Malone, to my knowledge, was one of the first people that I know that had David Flynn come in as part of the conference.
Right.
And I really think that in many ways that sort of got Dave Flynn on the map, if you want to put it that way, because that's how he came to our, you know, sort of crossed our, you know, vision.
Right. Brought him to the attention of people even like, you know, Richard Hoagland, with whom we profoundly disagree with his analysis of world
but
events.
But he definitely admired Dave Flynn's brain and the way he was able to wrap it around mathematics, which I think is so interesting because David told us once very early on that when he was a kid, he was lousy at math. The Lord gave him a gift.
Yeah. And well, who knows? You know, what ultimately... took him out of this world. What was an affliction, a very aggressive tumor that was not diagnosed until it was almost at terminal, or what it was essentially at terminal phase.
And I know it's been really, really hard on his family.
Yeah.
And you know, we as much as we miss him, honestly, we never got to meet him in person.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to talk to him daily on the telephone or anything like that. In fact, there were lots of times where we tried to get to hold of him, and because he is one of those guys that once he puts his head down and starts reading or writing, he doesn't look up till he's done.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's in the middle of that, you may not reach him for months.
No, and many of the people at the Watcher Forum who were regulars there, and I only clicked in on it, every few weeks, if then. It was not a regular there. Those who were regulars of the forum got to benefit from his interaction on a much more frequent basis. And, of course, his family, who knew him and were close to him. We don't pretend to be among the very
his
closest
close
friends
no.
in his close circle. But we deeply admire the body of work that he produced in the short time that he had on this earth.
Amen to that. Love him as a brother.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to meet him someday, and we just pray that, again, that you will continue to pray for his family. He had kids, didn't he?
I don't believe so. I to be honest with you, I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know that for a certain.
Well, we'll try to find that out, and if you do know whether or not he did, please let us know, and I apologize if we're just, you know, uninformed about that. Derek's going to do some looking. I hear keys clacking in the background. In the meantime, I will direct you to not only the links that Derek is going to put at the bottom of this very short, probably, PID radio, but also to allow you to listen to David's mini broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we may put them. Just go ahead and put them in the feed so they automatically go on the iTunes? Can we do that? Sort of like a 123/B and a 123/ whatever.
Yeah, I can add those to the RSS.
Is there a way
feed?
To do? Okay, good. Because I want to make sure that you listen to these if you haven't before. And honestly, the wonderful thing about YouTube these days is it has so many archived shows on videos posted on it. That some people have posted some of the David Flynn presentations. So if you go to YouTube and do a search for David Flynn, you're more than likely going to hit lots of hits. And I apologize if my brain is not quite engaged. I'm having trouble getting through my vocal cords, and there it's like I'm hitting a vocal brick wall every time I try to speak something. For some reason, my voice is cutting in and out.
You're where I've been the last couple of weeks. Anyone who listened to last week's View from the Bunker interview with
Someone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Judd Burton?
No, that was Judd was, we were going to try to connect last night.
Oh, that's right.
Night,
he was but, the one that wasn't able to meet you.
No, it was Doug Woodward about his new book, Power Quest. And my voice is about an octave lower than it is now. But that was due to what turned out to be the following day. I learned the onset of walking pneumonia, which thankfully
I hope
has
I
passed.
Haven't. Because I know that the incubation period for that is 2-3 weeks. So I'm praying that you haven't passed that along to me as your little gift. Tom Horan has laryngitis. So, you know, it's like we're all being afflicted.
There's a lot going around. This has been a mild winter and maybe mild enough that it hasn't really taken out the bugs that at least in our northern climes, where normally we'd have had a couple of weeks of below freezing temperatures by now. Here we are near the end of January, and it's only really gotten cold within the last 2 weeks.
I think I suspect that looking in your eyes, that you're looking at a list of news articles and trying to figure out where to go next. And rather than let you do that, can I just bring something up that I'd like to talk about really
briefly?
Sure,
absolutely.
That movie we watched, The Box.
Yeah.
I would really like to talk about that. If you've not seen The Box, dear listener, rent it. It's, first of all, a wonderful performance by Frank Langella.
Mm-hmm.
He's always worth seeing. But honestly, the plot didn't at all go where I thought it was going to. It had a springboard from Richard Matheson short story. And I'm not sure that I haven't read a short story, but I'd be really surprised if it went the directions that this movie did.
From what I read about the short story, it did not. It didn't get as
I think you probably had the bones of the story.
The bones of the story.
Guy, it's Christmas time. Package arrives at your doorstep. Brown paper backing, you know, tied up with string. Mm-hmm. Not one of your favorite things, trust me. And the explanation is that there's a button in there. There's a key to the box. The key opens the dome, and under the dome is a button. If you press the button, someone dies.
Yeah,
you don't know that person.
Someone you don't know dies, and you receive $1
million.
Mm-hmm. And
in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Tax-free.
Yeah, and as the movie progresses, you see that this gentleman, the character played by Frank Langella, has miraculously recovered from being hit by lightning.
Mm-hmm. He works for the NSA.
Works for the NSA, the National Security Agency. And
he was hit by lightning during this freak lightning storm during, what was it, a blast from Mars or something? Some sort of communication. We've already sent the DVD back. Probably we should have watched it again.
Yeah. So.
But it's connections to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Connections to the NSA. Connections to NASA.
Right.
The NASA. Connections to Satan. Mm-hmm. I would say.
Sure. Which is interesting about, you know, the lightning I saw.
Yes. And connections to temptation and Eve and just so many things that the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not, you know, that we're being tested.
Yeah.
That there are those watching us who are testing us.
Exactly. That was the character played by Langella was kept referring to his employers and the test, and that if humanity failed this test, in other words, if too many humans chose to push the button and condemn someone they didn't know to death, that we would be wiped out.
But there was a phase two of the test.
A phase two of the test,
that
right.
was testing for altruism.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't go into that. We won't tell you what that is because that's a spoiler. But if you have not seen The Box, you know, I'm going to let you get to the politics here in a second. But please take a look at it because I guarantee you will find it interesting.
Yeah, it's a thought starter. Movie was released in 2009, stars Cameron Diaz and Frank Langella, and well worth watching. So. No, I just looked at a couple of things as it seems that the political drums continue to beat across the world for war with Iran. We've been talking about this for quite some time, and slowly but surely, this seems to be seeping into mainstream consciousness. We, you know, of course, look a little deeper into the news. And the fact that you're listening to this program means you do too. So you've been aware of this for quite some time. But when it starts to show up on the regular evening news, you know, the passage of European and American warships through the Strait of Hormuz as a newsworthy event, you know that those who decide what is newsworthy have determined that this is now something that all of us need to be discussing and talking about and thinking about. Iran has claimed that they are going to definitely close the Strait of Hormuz. This, according to their deputy head of their parliament's Foreign Affairs National Security Committee. Now, what clout does he have? What authority does he have to make this statement? Who knows? Maybe nothing more than a
they have practiced closing it. You know, ways to mm-hmm. to actually, what was it they were putting in their mines?
Or? Mines.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this would be in response to the announced European Union embargo on Iranian oil.
Yeah, but it doesn't start until July because their contracts don't run out until July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, what does this actually mean in real terms? Don't know. It's very possible that this is just building to a slow climax, which is being scripted to take place just ahead of the November presidential election in the United States.
And I just wonder how many people, you know, Ahmadinejad, the Obamas, perhaps some candidates, received little packages on their doorsteps, wrapped up in brown paper, tied up in string.
That's an interesting thought.
I know.
While all this is going on, there's a report from Egypt that a safe containing radioactive material was stolen from a site where Egypt is planning to build its first nuclear power plant. Now, they say this is low-level radioactive material, not weapons-grade, but just kind of an interesting story.
Well, you know, the Gaddafi loyalists just won't. They won't stop, even though he's no longer there, no longer with us. They are still trying to take different towns. They took one of the, was it Bali? Sorry, I can't remember the name of the town. I'll look that up. They took a town today.
Hmm.
I don't know if they're trying to take it away from. Who are they taking away from? Who's running the town?
Who's running Libya? Well, I don't know. Now, there was a report, and we haven't posted this at the PID News page at Facebook because it comes from Iran's state-run media outlet, Press TV. But there was a report from Press TV that said that 12,000 U.S. soldiers have just been deployed to Libya.
I saw that Libya story starting this morning on Twitter from someone who lives there. And I saw it, you know, minute by minute by minute, saying they've done here, they've gone there, they've done this. And I didn't link to any of it because I didn't have proof
right.
that this guy really lived there. I kept seeing it. But then, of course, later on, the story came out that indeed that did happen. So he must really be there.
Yeah, it's hard to, and that's worth mentioning, too. The media has picked up on social media, the mainstream media has picked up on social media as a news source. And there are some outlets, NPR, for example, who have a guy who's devoted strictly to reposting stuff that he's picking up off of Twitter around the world.
Yeah.
Considering that the United States Department of State has so-called techno experts that are being financed and trained, and not Americans, by the way, but it is training people in other parts of the world to use social media for regime change or for you know, activism against regimes with which the United States disagrees.
They could give those jobs to, you know, U.S. people.
Yeah, if you'd find any that want to move to Syria in order to get paid to be a blogger in Damascus. But the point is, we can't trust what's coming from the social media
because
you don't know that it's not a paid shill for the State Department.
Oh, exactly.
Or for some other foreign government. For some other government. We don't know. So, when we're trying to look at what's happening, what's being reported in the news, you got to try to look at multiple sources and triangulate the truth from there, because you just don't know who's just making stuff up and putting it out there.
It could all be made up, people.
Sure.
I don't even know if you're there. Oh, the story is Gaddafi supporters attack a town in Libya, the town of Bani Walid. Apparently 4 people are dead. And earlier I saw that they had actually taken the town. This story is unclear as to whether or not they actually did.
Hmm. And while that is going on, closer to home, there was a story that actually hits rather close to home. The next generation of destructive pharmaceuticals, if you want to call them that, is really becoming mainstream in terms of, you know, who knows about it. I mean, when you've got
legal ones or illegal ones?
Illegal ones. When you've got people like our former pastor talking about bath salts.
Yeah.
And use those words in air quotes.
Yeah, these are not the little lavender problem. You know, things that you buy for your bathtub.
No, this is
they're called that so they can get, you know,
be sold over the counter in small communities around the Midwest. This is essentially bath salts and synthetic marijuana called
spice. The spice must flow.
Yeah, taking the place, reference to Dune there, taking the place of methamphetamines as the drug of choice for
and
many middle American youth.
And far worse than methamphetamines. I read
That's
an article that
thing.
I think I posted at PID News.
Yeah.
A doctor who was being interviewed, out of Chicago, I think. Anyway, an ER doctor who's in a big city, and he was talking about the many people who've come through his doors that are just so nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And their body is reacting in ways and their mind is reacting in ways to these substances that scientists have not yet figured out. And one of the reasons for that is because the ingredient list in the substances vary from manufacturer to manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, depending upon whether or not, say, the state of Illinois were to ban the sale of Vanilla Sky, let's call it that, bath salt, with a list of the following ingredients. All they have to do is change one molecule in that ingredient set,
yeah,
and then it's a new substance, and it's no longer illegal.
Mm-hmm. The one of the most dangerous ingredients that they're looking at in these so-called bath salts is called MDPV, which is derived from a plant grown in Africa, and according to experts, produces effects similar to cocaine and LSD, can also cause heartbeat irregularity.
Mixed with ecstasy.
Yeah, heartbeat irregularity, muscle damage, high blood pressure, kidney failure, other metabolic problems. It's really bizarre, but these have been, you know, this popped up in connection to a story that hit close to home from our former hometown of Shelbyville, Indiana.
A wonderful lady who lost her life because allegedly the man who has been arrested for her murder, this man, according to the newspaper articles, was high on bath salts when he was arrested.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is something that, you know, to watch out for in your community. It's sad that people are turning to these self-destructive behaviors, but this is one that's just sort of reared its ugly head here in the last half year or so out here in the Heartland. And again, small-town middle America being affected by it in a very profound and, at least in the case of our former neighbor back in Indiana, a very violent way.
Yeah, so if you find a small packet in your child or, you know, loved ones, sadly, neighbor's home, anywhere.
Yeah.
If you find it and it says bath salts on it and it's just a small package, 1 ounce or two, run very far. Well, take it to the police and find out what it is.
Exactly. So far, they've been...
These are $40, $50 a pop. These aren't cheap.
No. And been outlawed in some 32 states in the United States. That's essentially it as far as the things that I was looking at. There was one bizarre story you posted a couple of days ago that sort of connects the bath salts thing with although I don't know that he was on bath salts, but he certainly was behaving as though he was on some sort of drug or had certainly opened a doorway to some sort
of
entity.
Is he running for office?
No. This was the fellow who broke into a warehouse and decided he was hungry, so he
skinned a cat.
Yeah. A fellow named Russell Hofstede, 24 years old, broke into a warehouse. This was in Phoenix just a few days ago on Wednesday afternoon. The owner of the building called police. This gentleman, Hofstede, had been in the building for a while. He had skinned and gutted the cat, written things on the walls.
Wearing the cat's tail around his neck.
Yeah, and he'd also, you know, deployed every fire extinguisher in the building and broken all the fire alarm panels. But the internal organs of the cat were on ice in a cooler used to hold water. The description is rather gruesome. The cat had obviously not ended its life in a very pleasant manner. But this gentleman, when police confronted him, said he hadn't eaten in a while, so he bashed the animal over the head with a stick and used a butcher's knife that he'd found to skin it and gut it. They did not say, police, that is, they didn't confirm whether he had actually eaten any of the cat, and did not confirm what, if any, drugs he had taken. But certainly this is the type of behavior that would indicate, if not some sort of, you know, chemical imbalance in his brain, whether genetic or self-induced, might indicate that he was under the influence of some spiritual entity.
Oh, yes.
This is the kind of behavior that...
Well, it reminds me of that story that you wrote some years back, that short story.
Yeah, which some people found very disturbing.
It was.
Yeah. Involved a couple young boys who decided to torture a small animal to death.
I'm telling you, real life is so much scarier than fiction.
Well, and the sad thing about that particular story is that I went into some detail about what was being done to the dog in the story, but the description of what was lifted from an historic account of how settler on the frontier was tortured to death by Native Americans who had captured him, and this was in retaliation for this gentleman being involved in a rather brutal murder of some women and children, natives. In fact, they had actually scalped an unborn Native American child as part of this attack. So it wasn't something that came out of my own imagination. It was adapted from something that men had done to other men, and I just transferred it to these boys on a dog. And
well,
sadly, this is the kind of thing that we are capable of when we give over to the influence of the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I was taught when I was very young in church that everybody, and this is simplistic, but I think it speaks to it, everybody has a throne in his or her heart, and somebody's going to sit on it. It's empty until you ask somebody to sit there. By default, the enemy sits there.
Yeah, for all of sin and fall short of the glory of God.
You have to kick him out and ask Jesus to come in.
Yeah.
And if you kick out the enemy, if you straighten up your life through works and kick out the enemy, sweep out your house is still empty. That throne is still empty.
Undefended.
He gets back in.
Yeah,
exactly.
Undefended, yeah.
You have to have the king on the throne to keep everybody else out.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Well, this is a story that I actually posted today that's sort of a cousin to that one. My question is simple. Story is 6 injured at Antioch Sweet 16 shooting spree. A dad just wanted to give his 16-year-old daughter a nice party. That's what he said to KTVU when they asked him about, you know, the goings on. He said, let's see here, I want to get his quote. The girl's father said he just wanted to throw a fun party for his daughter, and they didn't invite the troublemakers.
Huh.
Well, there were, at one point, reportedly 70 to 80 people at this garage having a party, and the story is that 6 people were shot.
Okay.
Now, my question is, even if people start getting up in each other's faces at a party, a Sweet 16 party, who's got a gun to pull it out and start shooting? And it wasn't just one person that had a gun. More than one person had a gun. There were a number of guns that were drawn, and people just started shooting.
Now, Antioch, California is ringing a bell.
It's in the San Francisco area.
Isn't Antioch...
Not too far from Walnut Creek.
California, where... isn't it where the young lady was kidnapped when she was a teen and was held in the backyard of her?
Well, let me look. You read the story I just talked about, so you know which one I'm talking about. It's on the PIU.
I see it here. Yeah, this Antioch, California, is in the South Bay, not far from Brentwood, California.
Yeah, which of course is O.J. Simpson territory. J.C. Lee Dugard.
What,
held in a backyard in Antioch, California.
Okay.
Very good, honey. Yeah, I thought it had sounded familiar too, but I didn't take the time to look it up other than to look at the map, which is why I know it was near San Francisco. There are so many things in that whole area.
Yeah, because that's also not far from...
all of the other places.
Stockton.
I know.
And, okay, yeah, some other places.
And in fact, it isn't too far from there that the last circle begins.
Right. Little, yes. What is it about that particular area?
I don't know. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, Tracy. Okay, Tracy. That's the other place I was looking for. Tracy,
yeah.
California,
yeah,
which is just
right.
Southeast of there, which
that's
is
right.
Where that weird story about a year ago of a young man who came stumbling into an athletic club or a gym, like a health club. With torn clothes and, said that he'd escaped from the basement of a couple in the area where he'd been held against his will for something.
That's right.
So, yeah, just some odd things that have come out of that particular part
of
California.
I want to see how far Modesto is from there.
Modesto is a little north.
It's directly east of San Francisco. It's south and east of Antioch. It's south of Stockton.
Okay.
South and east of Stockton, a little while. Yeah, all in there. Well, there you go.
But again, as we found in recent weeks, even in little places like Shelbyville, Indiana, things can happen that just defy any kind of logic.
There is a line in the box. Yes, I know. I keep referring to the box. But remember, there are many things that you need to see in the box. And one of the things that I thought about while we were watching it was that the letters, the box, three letters, 33, is a hidden number in that title. But one of my favorite lines in the box was when Langella's character refers to how he can know everything that goes on because he has many employees. My employees are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asked, how can you know all those things? And he says, don't forget, I am merely a vessel.
Yeah.
This body is merely a vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And when he refers to his employees at one point during that line, you see everybody on screen suddenly turn all at the same time, very creepily, and look at the main character.
Mm-hmm. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing. This was the other story I was trying to remember from Tracy, California. Melissa Huckabee, the former Sunday school teacher who pled guilty to
the little girl
kidnapping and killing an 8-year-old girl. Yeah. So, weird stuff.
16-year-old, everybody shooting.
Well, again, we just feel like this show should be shorter than typical PID radio because we do want you to encourage you to...
We do. We really do. So please take the time after you finish listening to this worthless, a little bit of, other than what we talked about with David Flynn, you probably haven't gotten a whole lot of content other than watch the box. Watch the box.
Yeah. Go back and take a listen. We've got three interviews. One about the occult signatures connected to the 1947 Roswell crash, Daniel 3:3, the prophecy of Daniel 3:3 and its connection to Washington, D.C., and then the interview regarding his book, which, again, just mind-blowing in its connections, The Temple at the Center of Time.
A book that is still available, by the way.
Right.
His other book, Cydonia, Chronicles of Mars, the Hidden Chronicles of Mars, or something like that. Out of print. You can't get it unless you have a friend who will lend it to you. And many of us who have that book won't let it out of our greedy little fingers.
Yeah.
Before we go, though, I want to very quickly say that beginning today, Chinese New Year, this is the year of the dragon. It's the year of the water dragon. And we're going to talk more about that next time.
All right. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod. www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.